Welcome to the HR Heroes podcast, where we bring you the latest information to help business owners, entrepreneurs, and managers manage their team through COVID-19 and beyond. Listen in as we share leading edge information with experts across a variety of fields, from HR to legal, from negotiation to mental health, and so much more to help you not just survive, but thrive through the pandemic. And here now is your host, Natasha Hawker.
Welcome, Janine. We are so thrilled and, to be fair, lucky to have you join us today, given how busy you are at the moment. So thank you.
For some people who are listening to this today, they may have already known they're a victim of domestic violence, or this has maybe made them think, actually, I might be a victim of domestic violence, or something has happened in the home that is out of the ordinary. If that is the case for somebody who's listening to us this afternoon, what are some options for them? What can they do to help themselves or to keep themselves safe?
It's a really good question, and there's so much complexity around it, but I'd like to really try and keep it simple because everyone's situation can be very, very different, but there'll be parts of it that everyone listening will resonate with if they are experiencing it. And the first thing that I'd like to say, if you are listening, is that we believe you and that it's not your fault. Because you're working from home potentially or you're in a home and experiencing it, it doesn't mean that because you're staying there that you're creating this or that you're encouraging it to happen moving forward. So some of the things that we really want to focus on first is safety. It's always safety first. And you know what? You know that. You know that it's safety first because you know what keeps you safe. And I want you to know that I think that you're incredible, that that is the tactic that you take. And so if you need to leave in a hurry, there's things that you may need to know. And it's really about getting clear around how you leave. And every person will be different, but I really want you to think practically about how you would get out of a house. Run it through in your head. How would you get from one room to another? How would you open a front door? So when you get outside the front door, have you got everything that you need with you? For example, do you need a bag, an emergency bag with some things in it for overnight? Have you got cash with you? Do you need some keys with you? So when you get out the front door, where are you going to go? Maybe the front door isn't the place for you to go. Maybe it's inside your home. So where is a room in the house that potentially would be the safest place for you? And the reason I say that, Natasha, is because what I found with many of my clients is that they've ended up in a situation where they've gone into, say, a spare bedroom and closed or locked a door. But then they've been in there with no way of being able to contact anyone for help. So it's about planning. If we need to go into a room in the house and we can't go outside, do we have a spare cell phone, for example, that can be hidden somewhere inside that room that they can have access to so they can call someone for help, whether that be 000 if it's an emergency or someone else, because ultimately we don't want you getting stuck in that room and not having the right assistance either. And so it's around things like having a spare battery pack for your phone, a spare charger potentially, so that you're not confronted with a flat cell phone, for example, when you need to use it because it's been sitting there. One of the things I find is that be careful when you're hiding things, because your best kept secret hiding place is the same as everyone else's. Mm. So change it up. Just make sure it's not where you think's the best place. So if you think that that's the best place, choose somewhere else is what I suggest, because having done so many search warrants over the years, I can tell you that people hide things in the same place, even though they think that no one knows.
You're making me think about where.
So it's really easy to find things.
So what if somebody does have to leave, Janine?
So if someone has to leave, what you need to be really clear on is where you're going to go, because in a moment of panic, All you're thinking about is one foot in front of the other. So you don't have the ability to think rationally or logically, because everything shuts down in fight or flight. So it's really, really important that you make a clear plan before something happens, so you're not having to make any decisions around what you're doing in that moment. And that's really, really important. So understand, when you go out the door, are you going to go left or right? Are you going to go in a car? Are you going to walk? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to tell? And if you do need to leave, actually, if you don't get there, where to from there? Where's your plan B? So it's really, really important that we just have some really simple things in place. And one of the things I'd like to share with you is pets. Animals can be the thing that really hold us back from leaving as well. So if you do need to leave and you wish to take your pet, again, it's understanding how that might work practically. Do you need a lead for your pet? Do you need to change the location of the lead in the house so you're not going to the rear of the house to get the lead to then be trapped and not be able to get out of the house, for example? Have you got food for your dearest animal? And, you know, this is really, really important things. Maybe they might be on a prescription diet, and that means that you have to go back to their house. So just thinking through all those really, you know, retrospectively, what we term fairly simple things that are really, really important to make that transition for you as easy as possible in a really, really stressful situation.
That's excellent. And, you know, I hadn't thought through all of that. And when you say it now, it looks obvious, but it's not obvious, especially where I imagine when you're in that situation, it's the last thing. You don't think straight. You just need to get out.
No, absolutely. And, you know, even things like, so if you leave in your car, so it's understanding, do you have to get through a gate? Do you have to stop and open the gate? Are you reversing out of your driveway, for example? Is that going to create time? Is your car parked at the back of the house? Is it possible to get out in a vehicle? And even if you do get out in your vehicle, it's like, where are you going to stop and call for help? Because I see so many people, when they're panicked, their driving decisions in terms of safety is not always the best, and they panic and they might do a U-turn in front of another car, for example. So understanding where it is that's far enough away from the house that might be safe to pull in and stop to make a phone call, rather than, of course, trying to call 000 whilst you're driving. Even if it is hands-free, it's very stressful and it can create diversions, and that's, you know, there's safety concerns there in itself. So just take care and think through those things step by step.
That's really valid advice. You mentioned, you know, if they have to call someone, you know, in most cases, victims tend to call a family member, or do they call the police? And if they do call the police, what's important for them to say? You know, I think a lot of people are embarrassed. They don't know whether that their situation is serious enough to call the police. What's your advice around that?
It's a really, really good question. And so the first thing I'd say is knowing how to use your phone in an emergency, because what happens is everything goes, and our functionality, even with our hands and so forth, it is very much reduced, and we end up shaking a lot, and that happens all the time. We can't help that. It's how our body is protecting us. And so when we have that, what I've found in the past is the thousands of victims that I've spoken to, and I've actually been on the end of attending 000 jobs, is that one of the common things is that they always say is, I had so much trouble using my phone. So it's understanding how you can call 000 without having to unlock your phone. Get familiar with that and understand how that works, because most of us have probably never ever used that functionality on our phone unless we had to in an emergency, and that's not the time to be teaching ourselves. And the same with if you have to ring friends or family, save them in your favourites. Understand how to get to them quickly so you're not having to look under contacts or trying to remember their number, because, you know, we know numbers off by heart potentially, but in an emergency, that all goes. Mm. It falls out of our brains because we're in fight and flight mode. So don't rely on your memory to know a person's number and have it saved somewhere on one of your front screens of your phone or in your favourites contacts. So it's only a couple of pushes of the button is a couple of the things regarding phones that I would suggest.
That's great advice. Thank you for that. All right, let's move on to some different aspects of COVID-19. What have you personally taken from living through the COVID-19 experience to date?
Wow. Hasn't it just been, it's like, where do we start? I know, it's incredible. And, you know, everyone upon, you know, reflection now even says no one would have predicted pre-Christmas that we were looking down at the situation we are now. And, you know, so one of the things I'd really like to take out of it is around remaining positive and you know, I acknowledge there's a lot of fear. I acknowledge there's a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. But isn't it remarkable how people have really just come together as communities to be able to really help and step up in a leadership role, even with neighbours and our friends and family, and really start looking after each other. You know, I saw a post on Facebook with one of my connections just yesterday, actually, and that person said, you know, in times of need, I'm here to help. I will provide you food, no questions asked, and you may never have needed that before. I'll drop it on your doorstep. I won't even talk to you. Mm. Just message me. And you know, that's my experience, the positivity around the community connection and care. I just think it's absolutely remarkable how everyone's pulling together in such great times of need.
I think it's interesting because living in Sydney, I guess we're definitely not like New York or London, but I've noticed around the streets, people are a lot more friendly. They smile or they say good morning as I'm walking, or, you know, I chat to anyone, but there's been a much greater response back, which is, I think, a lovely outcome, you know, if you're looking for the silver lining.
Absolutely. And you know, I have to say the other day, my friend dropped over a litre of milk. And I can tell you now, I don't think I'm ever going to forget that litre of milk in my lifetime, because it was at a time where I was so busy and I couldn't go out in that moment. And it just meant so much to me. And so it really changes the perspective on gratitude. Mm. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to really acknowledge the small things as well, because the small things really are the big things at the moment too.
I'm working with that with the kids, trying to get them to think of something each day they're grateful for. And they're about to have a couple of weeks of school holidays. It's going to be, there will be lots of little gratefulness we're going to have to find.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, if you'd not ended up being a police officer, what would you have preferred to be?
My gosh, what a great question. You know, I always, when I have a moment to myself, I tend to go down this rabbit hole, this IT rabbit hole. And I love teaching myself new programs, and I can really just get so engrossed in learning something new. So I think I'd have to work somewhere in IT, to be honest, because I just love it.
You know what? Once I know how it works, I'm fine. But when you were saying, I just love learning a new program, I'm thinking, I couldn't think of anything worse. Oh, that's funny. All right, let's switch and talk about your best boss to date. Who's been your best boss to date, and what made them such a great boss?
Well, I think you know, we all have so many bosses, and coming from the New Zealand Police, there's been so many that are extraordinary. And one of the bosses that really resonated with me was Senior Sergeant Caroline Ankers. Now, She was my boss when I was running a squad of detectives and constables with a high intake DV team. And so, you know, we were getting everything from grievous bodily harm right down through to smaller crimes, but it was really high intake. And she taught me about my leadership style. she gave me the flexibility to really understand how I could shine and where my areas of strength were. And it was around complex problem solving. And it was in that moment that she just handed everything over to me and just said, fix it, just fix it. And we really did change systematically the way that we worked in terms of everything. And that for me was huge because it taught me too how to recognize talent in others and hand that over and have that trust and confidence that they too can really do a fantastic job based on strengths as well.
It's interesting. I ask that question to every guest and there is definitely some common themes, and it does seem to be coming out that our best bosses or mentors see something in us that maybe we don't see yet or enable us to bring that to the fore and really, you know, use that strength to our ability. It's quite amazing. Another question just back on your area of expertise. If you had a magic wand, if I could gift you this magic wand, you had one thing you could do with it, what would you make happen in the DV space to make the biggest impact?
It would be around information sharing, because at the moment we have pieces of the puzzle. Everyone holds a piece of a puzzle, and when we don't have all the pieces, we can't make the right decisions. And you know yourself, if you are told two-thirds of a story and you make a decision based on two-thirds, and then the next day someone comes to you and gives you the rest of the piece of the puzzle, it can change the whole trajectory of your decision making. And so for me, based on my experience and the work that I've done in the past with working in isolation and working collaboratively across multi-organisations, that's the key in my mind, because when we do that well, we make the right decisions and we really manage that risk better.
Good, good. That's brilliant. Anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Look, I think, you know, we've talked about a lot today, and I think if we go back to the simplicity of really, if there's three things that I can leave you with that you can remember, it's around in terms of what to do, all your considerations, and it's around safety planning. I think safety first, must always come first. And then it's about self-care as well. So it's looking after the people that are looking after the ones impacted as well. So your team members, if they're supporting someone with domestic violence, it's how are you looking after them or yourself, because it might be you yourself. And then getting the right advice and the right guidance as well, which is really key, because the big things are really in terms of the risk sits and what you don't know, you don't know. So that's where a domestic violence advisor or a specialist can really give you the right help to be able to navigate that successfully.
Janine, thank you. Stay well, and I'm looking forward to catching up with you on the other side. I'm Natasha Hawker, and remember, your employees really do matter.
You've been listening to the HR Heroes podcast with Natasha Hawker. And if you would like access to the episode notes and other resources, or to find subscription options, you can find us at employeematters.com.au/podcast. The HR Heroes podcast is proud to be lifetime members of B1G1.